I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 14. Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we shall no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting.
We are talking about forward thinking and leadership, the importance of helping the Lord's Church here at the Ninth and Main Congregation go forward. And the reason why is because when we think about leaders, we're talking about men who are up front, men who are striving to imitate righteousness and to show themselves approved unto God. When we consider leaders, and especially those, if I can put it underneath this banner, those who chase God, those who pursue God, those who imitate God. We think about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through verse number 15, really verse 16. We understand that the church has offices, it has functions, and it is designed for various reasons, as you see in verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. And when we think about elders and how elders are supposed to be ensamples or examples to the flock, 1 Peter 5, first couple of verses there, and how they are to watch out for the souls of the congregation, the sheep, those in whom they have been entrusted with. But also we consider ministers, teachers, those who have the responsibility of preaching the word, 1 Peter 4, 2 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. But also being an example to the believers. See, it's not enough for the man of God who is occupying the pulpit or who is teaching to just be a preacher or teacher, but he's an example. Literally, he makes an impression upon the people. When we consider these particular thoughts, we understand that he has a responsibility. And in order to continue this, to keep this going, if you will, we want to challenge our men. We want to challenge our sisters, your husbands. You have a responsibility to help them to be the best men that they can be. And the reason why is because we need forward thinking. We need our leaders to step up. And not just the elders, the deacons, the ministers, the teachers, but those who even aspire to be that. We understand that we have roles in the church, and we're not going to talk about that this morning, but we want to talk about the attitude and the lifestyle and the mentality that we ought to have in order to ensure that this continues to go on. We need men who want to chase after God, men who want to pursue God. If you will, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11, where Paul is talking to Timothy. And as he is talking to Timothy, he calls Timothy something that is very, very encouraging. He says, "But you, O man of God." Notice what he calls him. He calls him a man of God. What a beautiful banner to live underneath. What a beautiful idea to know yourself by. A man of God. There are people who have different types of letters behind their names. And if they've earned that, that's great. And there are people who have identities of different sorts. And you have that, that's great. But there is no greater identity than being a man of God, a woman of God. Why? Because you belong to God. But notice what Paul tells Timothy to do. Flee these things and follow, one translation says, pursue righteousness, literally to chase these things. Friends, we need more men that are willing to chase Christ, willing to chase God. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, follow me even as I follow Christ. We need men that's going to chase him. But we need sisters who are married to these great men to bring out the best in them. Why? Because we need more men that's going to go forward. Need more men that's going to have some forward thinking. Men who can make an impression upon the people of God, that they'll be able to see that life and say, I want to be like him because he is like Christ. That's what we're looking for. And when we consider the scriptures, the word of God coming from the very mind of God, we know for a fact that we can go to the qualifications of elders, of deacons, of ministers, and we can see what that looks like. But not just in the men, but also in our sisters. But not just in those who are of age, older, but we need to be teaching our young men and our young ladies that you need to properly prepare yourselves now so you can be what God will have you to be later. A lot of times we talk about the church of the future, but really the church is today. Why? Because we understand that tomorrow is not promised, but we have to plan just in case Jesus Christ doesn't come back today. If he waits another 10 years, 15 years, 200 years, we need to be properly preparing men and women for the role of Christians. Number one, how do I know I'm chasing God? First of all, we need to know that God wants to be found, that he wants to be caught, that he wants to be chased. Turn to Acts 17 and look at verse number 27. I promise you, I won't keep you that long this morning. Just have a couple principles that I believe that are worthy of our consideration. In Acts 17, as Paul is talking to those in Athens, as he is dealing with some of the idolatrous practices there. And in verse number 26 and verse number 27, notice what he says here by inspiration. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed time and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Here he's talking to a bunch of idolaters and he's telling them, you can chase God and you can find him, and he wants to be found. He wants to be chased after. You know, we chase many things, but we ought to be chasing God. We ought to be seeking after God. We need more men that are thinking right now, I want to chase God more. I want to be a follower of God even more than what I was yesterday. So how do I do that? Well, put these in your notes. Don't have time to go through all of these. Matthew 22, verses 37 through verse number 40. I need to love God. I need to love him with everything that I have. And I need to love my neighbor, my fellow man, as myself. How do I know that I'm personally following God? I love him with all of my being. And Jesus would say this, friends, in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you know that Jesus always pleased the Father? He always pursued the Father's will. He always positioned himself to be one who was doing what God says. How do I know that I'm chasing, pursuing Almighty God? Because I'm doing what he has asked me to do. In John 13, 34 and 35, and as I was studying and looking at some of these passages and reasoning in my mind, I asked myself, Mike, how do you pursue God? Well, in John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus would say that the world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. In that context, Jesus was serving his creation. He was the one that God used to create all things. And here, as he is serving his creation, this is how we demonstrate how we love one another. Put these in your notes, Acts 6, verses 1 through 7. If you notice in that text, we find a situation, a circumstance, a problem going on in the New Testament church as it just begun. And, well, the apostles couldn't leave the ministry, the preaching of the word, to serve tables. Now, they weren't discounting the tables. They weren't saying that serving tables was unimportant or that it didn't need to take first priority. It was the preaching of the word. But here was a situation in the church that needed to be handled. And when you look at verse number 3 and verse number 4 of Acts chapter 6, he gives qualifications of the type of men that we need over this business. Forward-thinking leadership, we need these type of men. Can't put men in leadership that are partial. Can't put men in leadership that have respect of persons. Can't put men in leadership that don't put the people first. And so notice in Exodus chapter 18. In Exodus 18, we see something very powerful as well. And sisters, your husbands need help. Husbands, your wives need help. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be the man that I am today. I promise you. You need someone that's going to check you from time to time. That's going to tell you that you're doing great. Keep up the good work. You're not always right. You need someone in your corner like that. You need good brethren that's going to do you like that as well. Moses, what was he doing? He was taking all these situations on himself. And notice what happened. He was wearing himself out. And his father, Jethro, his father-in-law rather, he said, you're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out. And so what did he do? In verse number 21, notice what he says. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as reverence God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of ten. Friends, did you see that? Brethren, you know, it is okay for men to have certain degrees of capabilities. Everybody can't do what everybody else does, and that's okay. Everybody cannot be a ruler over 100 people. There's some, they just need to be over 10. That's all they can handle. That doesn't make that person, that man of God, a less ruler than the one that can govern 1,000. Why? Because everybody has a role, just as in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. Friends, we need more men that are going to have the humble mentality to say, well, just put me where you need to put me, and I'll do the best that I can to glorify God in it. Amen? We need that. Young men, we want to encourage you. We have a great deal of young men and young ladies here. Put yourself in a position where you're looking at the older man, or you're getting some type of advice and some type of wisdom from the older men. Why? Because you want to be a leader one day, and you want to be a leader that's going to be able to glorify God and build up the Lord's church. And so, what will this require? Point two, it requires you chasing God, which will result in a few things. Let me give you a few. Number one, chasing God results in you being a man of surrender. Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute. One of the hardest things for men to do, and I'm talking about M-E-N, men, males, is to surrender. It's difficult. Because we look at ourselves sometimes as quitters, if I surrender. Well, that depends on what you're surrendering to. Let me help y'all. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said something very powerful. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, Leon, surrender. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me. Every now and then, Evelyn has to tell me, Mike, you need to surrender. Bring it down some. Humble yourself. Why? Because every now and then, Bonner gets a little big head and he wants to take things to a whole different level. Hold on. You know, you see that in your sons. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you what's wrong with it. If you don't help them bring it down some. So here, if I'm going to chase God, it's going to result in me surrendering in what type of way? In humility and honesty. What do we mean by humility? Meaning lowering myself, lowering ourselves. Look at Acts chapter 9, Forward-thinking leadership must have a mindset of lowering themselves. Here, one of the greatest men that have ever been portrayed in Scripture, talking about Saul of Tarsus, who would later on be called Paul. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through verse number 6, Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church. He was murdering disciples. He was taking those into prison of the way, if you will. You get down to verse number 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And notice what Saul said in verse number 5. "Who are you, Lord?" Notice verse number 6. "What will you have me to do?" Wow. Surrendering? Yes. What does it mean for me to surrender? "Who are you, Lord? What will you have me to do?" That's the first thing that he asked the Lord. His first encounter with Jesus was, "Who are you? What do you want me to do?" When I think about chasing God, what did it results in? It results in me being humble and being honest. But it also results in me keeping the commands of God and also believing the evidence. Turn to Numbers 13. In Numbers 13, God had told Moses to send out a leader from every tribe, Chad. And in that tribe need to be one man that's going to go out and he's going to see the evidence and bring the evidence to him and bring it to the people so they can believe. Well, we see that in verses 1 and verse number 2. But drop down to verse number 20 and verse number 26. Verse 20 and verse number 26. "Whether the land is rich or poor, or whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Drop down to verse 26. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land." Hold on. Chasing God results in me surrendering, but also keeping the command to go, but also believing the evidence. Why did two say we could take the land? Should not have all 12 said we could take the land? Did they not all receive the same command? Did they not all bring back the evidence? Why is it sometimes that men don't believe the evidence? Forward-thinking leadership must be men and women who believe the evidence. The command was given. They followed that part, but they didn't believe the evidence, for the 10 came and they disrupted the mentality and the actions of the children of Israel. Friends, chasing God results in me following the command and believing the evidence. On Thursday, Chad and Leon had great lessons. And Chad brought out some points concerning courage and how we shouldn't be people who are afraid and how we ought to be able to be, talk to the young people that sometimes you got to do hard things and you got to say hard things and you got to stand up. And sometimes we got to stand up against bullies and stand up against those who are opposing you. You got to stand up. Well, look at Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, here we find something again that's very powerful. Remember, Moses is dead now, but before Moses died, he not only encouraged Joshua, but he commanded him to be strong and of good courage. Two things. Strong of good courage. Moses dies and God picks up the baton, if you will, spiritually speaking, and he tells him the same thing in Joshua chapter 1. Even the people told Joshua, you be strong and of good courage. Three sources we find who are telling Joshua, be strong and of good courage. The former leader before he passes on, Moses, the God of heaven who gave the command, be strong and of good courage. And the people, they say, be strong and of good courage. Three sources. Sometimes we need different sources to tell us the same thing. Amen. It's nothing like being told by your spouse, you can do this. And then you get around the brethren, they say, you can do this. And then you read the word of God. You can do this. Yes. Yes. And sometimes we are our worst enemy. We tell ourselves we can't. And God is saying, you can. You can. Forward thinking leadership is just not you making decisions for other people. It's you making the decision to humble yourself before the God of heaven and allow him to do the leading. It starts right here. But sometimes you need other people that's going to help you do that. Because as men, as people, we get discouraged, downtrodden, depressed, disengaged, and sometimes we get destroyed. And we need someone else that's going to come and build us up. Some of the best men and women in Scripture have fit every one of those categories. But if they stayed with God, they were on top. It makes me think, friends, do we have these characteristics? Do we have a willing heart, men, to humble ourselves? To be men of honesty and integrity? To be men who read the command and say, I believe the command and I believe the evidence. To be that leader in the home that our children can actually say the audio and the video does match. So the people can say the same thing. Forward thinking leadership means that we're looking ahead. Why? Because the four men that you have here today might not be here next week. And that's true. And if the congregation, Brother Ryan, is going to continue to go forward like it's supposed to, we need men that's going to step up and do what they're supposed to do right now. That doesn't mean that you're appointed tomorrow. That means that you make up your mind now that I'm going to be the man that God desires for me to be. So when tomorrow comes and they ask, I'm ready. I'm ready. I have the Isaiah mentality as the Lord said, who shall go for us? And Isaiah hear those words, here am I, send me. And he went. He went. And so the more I thought about, what does it mean to have these characteristics? What will it require? It's going to require, number one, a willing heart. Outside encouragement. It's going to require me having a hope of eternal life. A stability within my own self. It's going to result in me being a man of God to be part of a people of faith who demonstrate the love of God, who understands that there is only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. So I end with this. How can we do this together? Brother Mike, I mean, how do I fit in this lesson? I knew somebody was going to ask me that, so I figured I'd put it in there. Okay, you're talking about men, and you're talking about how we need to have forward-thinking leadership. I'm a woman. I'm never going to be in that type of capacity. Well, that doesn't mean that you can't help your husband or your future husband or your son to have those characteristics and traits so he can be a man of God, so he can lead the people of God as close to heaven as humanly possible. Just because you wear breeches don't make you a leader. That's old people talk by saying just because you're a man don't mean you get the position. Brother Brother Royce, that needs to sink in. For some reason, men think that I ought to be in that position because I'm a man. God has already taken care of that by giving qualifications. He's given qualifications for elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. He's given qualifications for deacons. 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. And he's given qualifications for ministers, teachers, preachers. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 1 Timothy 6, the whole chapter. So how can we work together? We work together by putting each other in remembrance. The reason why I'm going here with this is because sometimes all of us need to be reminded of doing what is right. It is all right for us to be corrected. And those whom God loves, he chastens. God is not going to miraculously come down here upon the earth in the form of his son again and say, hey, Mike, you're doing what is wrong. No, he has given us his word and he has given us one another and he has given us the fruit of our decisions. And so we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. You need to be reminded. There's not one man, not one woman under the sound of my voice right now that is above the word of God. Not one. And all of us should say praise be to God for that, lest we become a law unto ourselves. Number two, by listening to each other to bring out the best in one another. I want us to take notice of Proverbs 13, verse 20. Leon, get Proverbs 15. I want you to read verse 31 and 30 through 33. Proverbs 30 and verse number 20. Notice, we need to listen. We need to learn how to listen. Teach your children how to listen. If they will listen to you, perhaps they'll listen to God. And if they'll listen to God, perhaps they'll listen to people who come in the stead of God. In Proverbs 13 and verse number 20. He who walks with the wise, or with wise men rather, will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. That is so true. Do yourself a favor. Brethren, read the Proverbs, read the book of James, read the Psalms, and what the Psalms will do, it will actually soften your heart. It'll soften you. You read the book of Proverbs and it'll give you insight. It will help you to see the end at the beginning. You read the book of Joshua and it will make you a man's man. Amen. But in Proverbs 15, verses 31 to 33, Brother Leon, what does that say?
The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gives understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility.
Y'all hear those beautiful words? Especially there at the end, at the bottom of the reading. Before honor, you gotta lower yourself. No wonder there is not a name that is above every name. Jesus is the name. It's the greatest name among men. You won't utter a better name, a greater name than the name of Jesus. Why? Here the word become flesh. He came down upon the earth and he did God's will. And God said, get up here and sit at my right hand. Before honor, you gotta lower yourself. You humble yourself. Forward thinking leadership humbles himself. And so I give you five exhortations and the lesson is yours. And they're all in the book of Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews 10, verses 22 through verse 26. Let me give you some brief exhortations. Brother Brian was in the book of Hebrews concerning the Lord's Supper. I'm like, man, get out of Hebrews. That's where I'm going to be. was good stuff. Appreciate those thoughts. We needed those thoughts. We need to know about the only begotten, and he is that. In verse 22, won't keep you long here. How can we help each other? How can we help our husbands? How can we help our wives? How can we help our sons, our daughters, to be leaders? Not necessarily only in the function of leadership concerning the qualifications, but just being a Christian, wearing the name of Christian, having the mind of Christ. Verse 22 of Hebrews 10, by reminding one another and helping each other to draw near with a true heart. Are you true? There's no falsehood in truth. Are you true, friends? Men, are you true? Are you drawing near with a true heart? Verse 23, holding fast the confession. One translation says the profession of our faith. Are you holding on? I told a congregation a couple of weeks ago, just hanging on by my chinny, chin, chin. And the old folk used to say that all the time. Some of them just holding on. I'm just hanging on. And you know what? It is all right to hold on to what you have until somebody else can come over there and help you hold on tighter. Number three, in verse 24, consider one another, meaning that it's not about me. And if it was only about Jesus, he wouldn't have died on the cross. He wouldn't have obeyed his Father. If it was only about the Father, he wouldn't have sent the Son. And if it was only about the Son, we wouldn't be here. Friends, even in the church, we're one. And it's not even about us. It's about my brother. It's about my sister. And the one I gotta love my neighbor as myself. So I consider you. You consider me. But why? To provoke one another unto love and good works. Forward-thinking leadership thinks about others. Even to the point that sometimes, and I told my son this just the other day, you take the loss. It's okay. It's okay to take the loss. Because I know for a fact that the God of heaven, what he does, he exalts the humble. Take the loss. It's okay to take the loss sometimes. You learn a lot by taking the loss at times. Verse 25, by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, we can encourage one another. We ought to be encouraging our families. We need to go to worship service. We need to go to Bible class. We need to go to singing. We need to do the fellowship. But why? So we can build up each other. By no stretch of the imagination am I putting the first day of the week worship on the same plane as us having a barbecue together. I'm not doing that. However, there's nothing like coming together with the people that you do worship with on the first day of the week. And I tell you, ain't nothing like good brisket. I'm just throwing that out there. I know he said hamburgers and hot dogs, but if somebody want to bring a slab of meat and put it on there, go right ahead. Okay, just go right ahead. Put that slab of meat out there. I'll slice it. Anyway. Yes, sir. I close with this. Hebrews 10:26. How do we help future leaders? How do we help men? How do we help our children? How do we help ourselves? We don't engage in willful sin. Can't leave that point out. Forward-thinking leadership. Men who chase God. How do I know if I'm chasing him? I see sin, and I try to get as close as I can that God is just as pleased with me as possible. Oh, no, 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 no. This is sin. I'm over here. Why? Because he doesn't like that. Amen? If it's sin, and you know it's sin, stay away from it. Why? Because that pleases God. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're thankful for your son, Jesus the Christ. We're thankful for his beautiful life, the example that he showed. I ask the Father that you be with all of us as we're striving to be forward-thinking people. People who chase after you. People who long after you, who pursue you, who follow you. You have left us your son as an example to follow. Help us to do that. Father, I ask that you be with every man, every leader, every sister, every wife, every potential wife, every young boy, every young girl who desires to truly follow your son. Help us to help one another do that. Sometimes, Father, it becomes uncomfortable. And as leaders, it becomes uncomfortable. As Christians, we become uncomfortable. But we know that if we stay with you, you will exalt us in due season. Forgive us when we fall short. Forgive us when we sin, when we repent of those things. We know, Father, that we're not always right, but you are. We know we take sidesteps sometimes, but you never do. But we're thankful that you're a merciful and gracious God, and you desire all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Help us to have that characteristic, that mindset, that attitude. We know you love us. Help us to love you back. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. How? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. That's the great confession that Peter made in Matthew 16, verses 13 through verse number 18, verse 19. Will you believe that he's the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Will you be willing to repent of your sins? Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, shall all likewise perish. Willing to confess him, not confess your sins, confess him. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said about baptism, being immersed. If one wants to be in Christ, be clothed with Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. And if anybody ought to know what it takes in order to be saved, it ought to be the one that came to do the saving. Jesus. Be faithful. Be trustworthy. Be dependable. I did not say, and the Bible did not say, be sinless. What are you going to do with the sin after you commit it? Are you going to stay in it, or are you going to get up? Proverbs 24 and verse 16, a righteous man falleth seven times, he gets up. Friends, we need to learn how to get up and stay up. And let's help one another who fall get up and help them up. Maybe a child of God, you've fallen. You don't have the forward leading thinking that you need to have. Well, let's change that. Well, how do I change that? Be around people who think that way. Because it is true. Evil communication corrupt good morals. Let us pray for you. Now pray for me. All of us need prayer. And we need encouragement. And we need someone that's going to push us and say, you can do it. And when my brother falls, my brother's not where he needs to be. We say what we need to say and we move on. And we don't bring it up again. It should be the same for me too. Teach your children that. As we stand, as we sing, our Savior's invitation.